This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always forever we begin by praising and thanking Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify that لا إله إلا الله There is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى And we send our love and our greetings, our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his Sunnah until the end of time. May Allah bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of Iman, the blessing of Islam, the ability to worship Him, to fast for Him, to make sujood and salah for Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve us and our deen, that we die in the state of Iman, in the state of Islam. Ameen. We're speaking this part of a much longer series that we started with the creation of Nabi Adam and the purpose of life, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, why we are here. And we mentioned that the purpose of the creation of Nabi Adam was in one way to look at it is to realize and have a relationship with Allah that even the angels cannot have. Our ability to choose to worship Him is very different to Jibreel's worship of Allah continuously. We choose to worship Him. We choose as we go through the street, I'm hungry, I'm starving, but I'm not going to eat until Maghrib time. We choose to be here. And that is why that's a very special, unique relationship that we have. And the one who submits and surrenders willingly to Allah is better than the one who submits with compulsion. That is why the angels made sujood to Nabi Adam. But of course we have the capacity, the ability to be asfala safineen. We also have the ability to be the worst of the worst. As the angels had said, Ya Allah, they are going to commit mischief. They are going to disbelieve in you, reject you, shed blood. They won't worship you. Allah didn't say no. He didn't say no, they're not going to do that. Allah said, there is something in them that I know that you don't know. So within us, we have this capacity of great good and great evil. And each and every one of us, we fight with that on a continuous basis. Surah Shams, for example, Allah mentions the sun and the moon, the night and the day, the heavens and the earth, this duality. Why? Then Allah says, وَنَفْسِي وَمَا سَوَّهَا And so too in your nafs. In every single person, you have this duality in you. So, and your nafs has this ability to choose good or bad. Successful is the one who purifies his nafs, and the one that and the one who has failed is he who gives in to his lesser side. That is the battle that we all face with. We've got 60, 70 years, 50 years, 30 years, depending how long Allah has given you, to win that battle. And then we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be accountable for what we have done. Allah also, from the story of Nabi Adam, Allah also taught that we will make mistakes. None of us are sinless. None of us are free of sin. We will commit sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no problem forgiving all sins, big or small. Even up to murder and zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. If we return to Him in repentance, He will be off forgiving, quickly to forgive. But what He will not negotiate, what He does not forgive, is that of shirk. And so, after Nabi Adam, people came. Even Nabi Adam's own sons, one killed the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not hold retribution on that generation. Until Nabi Nuh came, where his people committed shirk. Where they had invented a new religion. They had invented a way where Allah became irrelevant. When you commit shirk, there's no need for Allah anymore. The rain comes from the idol. The barakah comes from the kramat. The protection comes from the tawi. Why do I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah becomes completely irrelevant. And that is the one thing Allah will not negotiate on. And so Nabi Nuh came, he preached. They did not listen. Eventually Nabi Nuh made dua against his people and Allah removed them, he drowned them. And so we see this began a cycle now. Mankind goes through a cycle of creation, of rather one generation comes, they develop and they grow and they become powerful. Then they reject Allah. They commit other kinds of sins. Allah sends a Nabi to remind them. Allah does not hold them to account until He sends a Nabi. That Nabi spends years and years and years, decades with them, preaching, guiding, calling to them, until that Nabi gives up on his people. from his own community. These are his own family members. These are his own relatives. When that Nabi says, Ya Allah, these people, there is no hope in them anymore. There's no goodness in them. Remove them, Ya Allah. The Nabi makes dua against those people, then Allah destroys them. And we spoke about some of the destroyed nations. And as I said last week, speaking about destruction in Islam was always awkward. Always felt, we don't want to talk about Allah's punishment and adab. Allah's all merciful and kind and loving. But perhaps you would imagine now when you see a genocide happening in Gaza, you see people killing children and babies, that surely there are certain crimes that is justified for the adab of Allah. We see that now. We see that certain generations, certain crimes are so bad that Allah's retribution becomes justified. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll find whenever He speaks about the adab, He mentions that the word was justified against them. They had crossed the line. They were given the lines, the limits. And then they crossed that line and now it became, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ فَتِيلًا. Allah said, I do not oppress anybody. Nobody is oppressed in Allah's creation. Nobody is dealt with unjustly. So, now as we said, we went through generation after generation. Allah says, come ahlaknaw. Allah said, how many generations, countless nations, tribes, villages across the world, and we find their remnants all over the world. They went down that same route. Until a point came where it appeared mankind would have lost Tawheed altogether. The worship of Allah became extinct. There was not a single place on earth where shirk was not the prevalent religion. You would not have found anyone worshipping Allah. People are worshipping everything besides Allah. This is the norm, was the norm. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the father of monotheism, the man who is the most revered personality on earth, the Jews, the Muslims, the Christians, revere him as the father of monotheism. In fact, even in the Hindu religion, you find this term, the Brahmans. It is Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, perhaps the most revered personality in all of history, all of mankind. This man changed civilization. He changed. And his message, subhanAllah, we can see the biggest religions on earth are the monotheistic religions. And Nabi Ibrahim, so we talk about him and his message, inshallah, today. Nabi Ibrahim lived and was born in Ur, a city in Mesopotamia, in what is modern-day Iraq. Where Baghdad, this area, is the oldest area of civilization on earth. People lived long before that, but they didn't build cities. They were tribe, people were nomadic. They moved from town to town. They basically moved and grazed. That was their livelihood. And then, of course, mankind realized, look, it's easier to plant things. Instead of looking for food, we plant, and then next season, there's going to be crops. And so cities were set up. And it's in this region between the Euphrates River and the Tigris River in Iraq, which mankind began the first civilizations. And Nabi Ibrahim is at that time, is in that place. And his people, of course, like all people at that time, they're worshipping everything besides Allah. So Allah says, وَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَى Ibrahim. Tell them the news or the story of Ibrahim. إِذْ قَالَ لِيَبِيهِ. When Nabi Ibrahim asked his father, وَقَوْمِهِ, and the people, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. What are you worshipping? What are these things you're worshipping? His people, of course, Nabi Ibrahim's people, they had idols, statues. And they would have temples where you had all kinds of different figurines, statues, big and small, different shapes, men, women, whatever it was. And they would worship them. And even more so, what was weird for Nabi Ibrahim, what was strange for him, was that his dad was the idol maker, Azar. His dad was the idol maker. And he found it very strange that a person would come to him, come to Azar, come to Ibn Abi Ibrahim's dad. They say, Azar, you know, the doctor gave me the diagnosis, I have cancer. Inna lillahi, I've got cancer. Can you make me an idol? You know, it looks so like a medical idol. You know, it's got some cancer treatment, chemo stuff. Put it so that I can worship it. And this will remove my cancer. And Nabi Ibrahim is watching this idol semi-made in the workshop. As a child, he's playing on these idols, jumping on them, riding on them. Then he sees it in town. That same man is worshipping, crying, begging, something which my dad made. It was strange for him. I can't understand this. So he says, my people, my dad, he's still a young boy, what are you worshipping? قَالُوا, they said, نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا, we worship idols, فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاقِفِينَ, and we are devoted, we make عَاقِفِينَ like i'tikaf, we make i'tikaf on these things, we devote ourselves to these idols. So he asks, قَالَ هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدَعُونَ. He asks, can they hear you when we speak to them? When we make dua, do they hear? أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَدُرُّونَ. Do they have the ability to hurt you or to benefit you? Can they hear? Can they help? Do they have any power? قَالُوا, they said, بَلْ وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا كَذَلَكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. They said, we just found our dads, our forefathers to do this. This is what we found. Our people used to do it, and that's what we keep doing. As my father done and his grandfather, we just do as what the previous generation was doing without asking questions. So Nabi Ibrahim qala afara'aytum ma kuntum ta'buduna antum wa aba'ukum al-aqdamun. So he said, do you not observe or think about, have you not, you know, taken a, he's asking them, do you not take a step back and ask yourselves, why are we worshipping this? And why did our forefathers worship it? So did you never ask yourself, why am I doing this over and over? And so now he says, فَإِنَّهُمْ أَدُوٌ لِي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He says, as for me, I don't feel comfortable. I'm not going to worship any of these things except the Lord of all of creation. So now, subhanAllah, non-Muslims have a very lack of understanding as to what Muslims worship. If you speak to non-Muslims, they know that you fast, but they don't understand what is your concept of God. They might say you worship a black box in the desert. They might say you worship Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man. They might, whatever ideas they might have, strange ideas. If you ever want to give a nice summary of who Allah is and who we worship, it is this passage in the Quran. Nabi Ibrahim says, so he says, I don't worship any of these things. And he found people worshipping stars and the moon and the sun. He said, I don't worship any of these things as well. So they're like, what do you worship, Ibrahim? Are you like an atheist? What are you worshipping? Qala, alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdeen. I worship the one who created me and he guides me. He's always there in my life. Walladhi huwa yut'imuni wa yisqeen. And the one that feeds me and gives me drink. Wa idha maridtu. And when I become sick, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. He is the one that cures me. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُونِي ثُمَّ يُحِينَ. And he will be the one that causes me to die. And when I die, he will be the one to bring me back to life. وَالَّذِي أَطْعَمُ أَنْ يَغْفِرْ لِي خَطَايَاتِ يَوْمَ الدِّينَ. And I hope when I meet him, that he will be merciful to me and forgive me when he judges me. Whatever name you want to call him. You want to call him Allah. You want to call him the Creator, Al-Khaliq. Whatever name you want to call him. That one who made me, he made the sun, he made the moon, he made you, he made all of us, he made the Jews, he made the Hindus, he made all of us. Same one. He sends the rain. That one is the one I worship. That is my creator. He is the only one that can benefit me and harm me. He's the only one that when I make dua that he hears me. And he says, this is my religion and this is my Lord. And this is, subhanAllah, as I said, if you want to explain to a non-Muslim, we get... Leave all the terminologies aside. Allah sometimes becomes complicated for them. Even though in the Bible, in the Christian Bible in Arabic, when they speak about God, they use the word Allah. Allah means God. He said, leave it. You don't like Allah. He said, I can't worship your Allah. Your Allah and my God is different. He said, is there a different one who made Muslims? And there's a different creator who made the Jews? He said, no, it's the same. He said, now that one, that is the one I worship. So now, his people, when he said this, they said, قَالَ أَرَاغِبُ أَنْتَ عَنْ أَهَالِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. His father is saying, Ibrahim, are you rejecting, are you turning away from my religion and our gods? Are you turning away? لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. You better stop this nonsense that you're talking. Now, he's becoming a teenager, rebellious. And he is now speaking out, I can't worship these things. I don't want to worship these things. They're wrong. And his dad is saying, I'm going to give you a hiding. I'm going to stone you. وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا. So, and then he says, now get away from me, get out of my sight. Otherwise I'm going to hit you. I don't want to see you, get out of my sight. Nabi Ibrahim qala salamun alaykum. Says, my dad, peace be upon you. سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِحَفِيًّا. So he says, I will make dua for you, daddy. I'm going to make dua that my Lord, that Allah forgives you. Verily, he is oft forgiving, he's most gracious. وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدَعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And he said, and I will leave you. I'm not going to bother you or disturb you. I will move away from you. And all these things that you're worshipping, you won't see me in the temple. I'm not coming to your worship. Don't count me out. So now Nabi Ibrahim, as I said, he's a young teenager. And like all teenagers, they want to not rebel, but for the good reason. Not all rebellion is bad. If you rebel against something evil, then it's a good rebellion. And he wanted to teach his people a lesson that he hoped would make sense to them. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّ بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. He says, and indeed, Allah says, we had granted Nabi Ibrahim sound judgment, wisdom, from a young age. As a young child, as a young boy, he saw things that other people didn't see. For he knew, and Allah says, and we know well who we give inspiration. Allah says, we know well who we choose as Anbiya. إذ قال أبي قومي ما هذا as Nabi Ibrahim asked ما هذا التماثيل التي أنتم لها عاقفين. He says again, Allah repeats the ayah in a different surah. What are these تماثيل, are statues, figurines that you are so devoted to? قالوا وجدنا آباءنا لها عابدين. They said these are what our forefathers worship. قال لقد كنتم أنتم وآباؤكم في ضلال مبين. He says did you ever consider that maybe you and your forefathers got this wrong? قالوا أجئتنا بالحق أم أنت من اللاعبين. So they said to him, are you being like, these are different debates. So he said, are you coming with something true, or are you just a mischief maker? Are you making games, jokes? He's speaking to the Maulana. He's talking to Maulana, why do you do this? Why? He says, are you taking me for a joke now? You're asking me these questions. Can the idols hear? Can the idols speak? Can the idols help with this? Don't ask these questions. So now he says, قال بل ربكم رب السماوات. So Nabi Ibrahim is saying to these people, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. الذي فطرهن, the one who created, controls, looks after the heavens and the earth. وَأَنَّ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. And he says, and I bear witness to that. That is our Lord, guys. Our Lord is the one who made us. وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. So then he said to himself, I'm going to teach you guys a lesson. By Allah, I will surely plot against your idols after you have turned your backs and gone away. After you have left Allah, I need to teach my people a lesson. So now we know the story. There must have been a day of celebration where the people left the temple and they maybe went out in the woods or whatever, and Nabi Ibrahim found himself alone in the town, and they said, come with, we're going to this party, this festival. And usually these pagan festivals have all kinds of rituals out in the woods and stuff like that. He says, I'm not feeling well, inni saqim, I'm not feeling good, I've got a fever or whatever, you guys enjoy yourselves. So now when the townsmen were all out, he gets out of bed and he runs to the temple, breaks into the temple. فَجَعْلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. So then he comes in and he breaks and he smashes all the figurines, all the statues, the idols, he smashes them bits by bits, and except for the big one. And لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. So they might turn to it for answers. And they broke all the idols, he broke all the idols as we know, and he left the axe or the hammer on the big idol. And he wanted them to obviously ask this idol what happened. قَالُوا. So when the Muaddin opened the door, he's coming to give Adhan for Fajr, whatever it is, he says, oh my gods, what happened to you? Oh my gods, what happened to you? And they called the people, come in, look at this. Who dare do this? SubhanAllah, imagine we walk into the masjid and we see everything is broken there. You can imagine how upset and angry the people are. The committee had an emergency meeting, they called, who could have done this? قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِيَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Who could have done this to our gods? Indeed, this is such a criminal, bad criminal. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتِيًّا يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Said, so someone said, there is this delinquent boy Azar's son. That boy Azar that we all heard about, he's a troublemaker. He's the only one that has been asking crazy questions and speaking out against the idols. Call him, must be him. So they called Nabi Ibrahim. قَالُوا فَأْتُوا بِهِ. Bring him. عَلَى أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ. Bring him in front of the eyes of the people. So it's not just him and a few people, it's the whole village calling him. Nabi Ibrahim on one side, and the whole town, the whole masjid, everyone is in front of him. قَالُوا أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيم. They asked, did you do this, Ibrahim, to the idols, to our gods? قَالَ. He said, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ. He said, why are you looking at me? The big one did it. He's got the axe. He's got the murder weapon. Why are you looking at me? That guy hasn't got the gun with him, the hammer. Hada, this is the one that did it. This is the bad guy. This idol. See, he's jealous about all these idols. He broke all of them. He's the one with the axe. And he still even proudly keeps an axe on his chest. So, قَالَ بَلْ فَعْلُوا كَبِيرُ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِن كَانُوا يَنْطِقُونَ. So ask him, so he can tell you what happened. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So then Allah says they took a moment, all of them individually, they paused for a moment and they realized that they were clearly on the wrong side. They couldn't say to Ibrahim, but that's impossible. An idol can't do anything. An idol can't has any power. But they realize if we say that, that reaffirms his position. So if Allah says in that moment, the penny dropped. ثُمَّ نَكِسُوا. But collectively they decided, no, we can't say this. They said, no, we put that thought out of our minds. Then they said, لَقَدَ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَىٰ يَنْطِكُونَ. They said, Ibrahim, duh, are you stupid? You know the idols can't talk. Are you dumb? The Nabi Ibrahim says, قال أفتعبدون من دون الله ما لا ينفعكم شيئا ولا يضركم أف لكم. So are you worshipping something that can't benefit you or harm you or speak or anything? أف to you, duh, are you stupid? He's saying to them, are you dumb? Are you crazy? أف is like, are you, shame on you. وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ And shame on these things that you're worshipping. You are dumb and these things that you're worshipping are dumb. مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Are you, do you have no sense? Are you like crazy? قَالُوا حَرِّكُوهُ Now obviously when you can't win a debate, when you speak to a bully and he can't win a debate, what's he going to do? I'm going to pound on you. I'm going to beat you up. You better shut up. I'm going to beat you up. قَالُوا حَرِّكُوهُ Burn him. وَانْصُرُوا آلِيَتَكُمْ And protect your gods. إِن كُنْتُمْ فَعَلِينَ Do it. So now the mob mentality. Burn him and save the idols and this evil child. So of course we know this, the story that they set up this huge fire. His own dad, subhanAllah. Nabi Ibrahim's own father was part of him. He didn't say stop. He said, yes, burn this boy. Says, what kind of son this is of mine? And they created this fire and they threw him in the fire. And at that moment, kulna Allah says, we said, ya nar, fire, oh fire, kunu baridan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Be cold and safe for Ibrahim. Be cold and safe. Wa aradu bi kaydan faja'annahum al-akhsarin. And they plotted and they planned, but we made them the losers that day. Nabi Ibrahim is cast into the fire. Everything, his ropes and what burns, but he comes out. He's not even, his clothes are singed, and he walks out of the fire safe and sound. And inshallah, next week we'll continue with Nabi Ibrahim's story. Bismillah. Just a few quick announcements. We, with next week is our last Jumu'ah, and then Eid would follow thereafter. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the best of the last 10 nights. The last 10 nights begin the 21st of Ramadan. I believe that is Sunday night. Tonight is the 19th, 20th. So it's Sunday night is the beginning of the last 10 nights. In those 10 nights, there would be Laylatul Qadr, where your decree, my decree, whether I live, whether you live, whether we have rizq, whether we have sus, whatever it's going to be, Allah will make it known to the angels in that next week and a half. And on that night, whoever captures it in ibadah and salah with devotion, the Prophet didn't say 100 rakahs or 8 rakahs. If you spend even one moment crying sincere, your heart is sincere, inshallah, it's hoped all our sins are forgiven and we capture Laylatul Qadr. Also, from the surah, we know the angels, the Jibreel descends, and the angels descend on that night or on Laylatul Qadr, and they will accompany the people of gatherings, of dhikr, of the masjids, your home, especially even a home, subhanAllah. And salamun hiya hatta matla'il fajr, there is a general amnesty. Anyone who has sins, anyone who has a problem, Allah opens the door, the amnesty, blank check of forgiveness is there. And so I know it's been a long month, it's tiring, we are all exhausted. Let us, inshallah, make dua. Allah grants us the strength, the tawfiq, to push our utmost best to attain all the barakah, all the blessings, all the khair, all the rewards of this last 10 nights. And also, very importantly, the ummah is in a desperate need, desperate situation. Many of our greatest victories were in the month of Ramadan. And so your du'as, the du'as of the ummah means a lot. Keep the ummah in your du'as. We make du'a for all those who are suffering and struggling. We ask Allah to grant victory for our brothers and sisters in Palestine and throughout the world. Then with regards to Eid, we of course will determine when Eid is going to be. We'll still have to look at the moon. But one of the best things to do on Eid is, of course, to feed people. That's why we have Zakatul Fitr. It shouldn't actually be money. If you can feed, it's even better. But it's a dispensation. We put our money together and we feed people. So the best thing you can possibly do on the day of Eid is to feed someone. And we have this great sunnah here at Burhan. We have what we call the Mahrajan, where we cook pots of food and we feed Muslim and non-Muslims alike. So this is not fitra. Some can go for fitra. But these are also for non-Muslims to show we are part of a community. It's not just only Muslims. And so, inshallah, we hope that everyone can contribute. And then our Salatul Layl program will start at 10:20 every evening, 8 raka'as, bi-ibnillah. Jazakallah khair, wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala sahbihi sallam wa sallin, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.